The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's time for the Steve and Kyle podcast with Steve.
I had basically taped myself into the breezeway, so I couldn't leave.
So of the four doors, none of you them had left zero exit points. Yeah. Was there any ventilation?
No, that wasn't an issue, though.
Why would it? Paint fumes are known to be acceptable.
Kyle.
Your trailer lights?
Yeah.
Don't they just plug in somewhere?
Yeah, you gotta run the wires to the lights.
Oh, just buy a new one. How stupid.
Well, that's what happens when you buy new trailer lights. You have to wire them up.
Call over the guy who wires, the wirer. Don't you bring it to the wirer shop?
Where's their local wirer shop?
I figure they're behind, you know, the hush-hush. Kind of like you gotta knock three times to get to the wirer.
Live on tape from APS 3. Whatever, it's the Steve and Kyle podcast.
Thank you, as always, Melissa. Melissa Vaughn.
You think she ever went back and maybe listened to an episode to see how we used her voice work?
No, not at all.
She's just on to the next one, too busy. Being
just spitting them out on Fiverr.
Too busy being British.
Drinking a spot of tea. Eating
biscuits.
The things that they eat.
Biscuits and bangers.
Bangers and mash.
Bangers and mash.
Bangers and mash.
Now, you lived in England for a while, right?
Jolly old England, yes. Called that home for upwards of 4 months.
When you came
not really. I was basically a local.
When you came home, was there anybody who had to sit down with you and say, "Hey, Steve, you kind of brought home an accent"?
No, like, no,
you weren't like dragging some letters out or putting a little accent on stuff that people are like, "Oh God, Steve's here."
No,
great. Were you the guy who, you know, showed up to the house party or wherever afterwards, and anytime somebody would just mention, "Oh, hey, did you see the football game?" Well, actually, football is suck.
Oh, well, I was on the pitch yesterday.
Ah, football. Wembley Stadium. Yes. And everybody just slowly exits, quickly exits the room to get away from you, right?
Dude, when I was over there, it was, so that would have been 2001. And there was, I believe, a World Cup in 2002.
Yeah.
So while we were over there in the fall of 2001, there was World Cup qualifying going on.
Oh, nice.
And I couldn't care less about soccer, but we had gone out to a pub one night where they were showing England versus Germany.
And it
was a World Cup qualifier.
Yeah.
And that was the coolest thing that I've ever experienced. Like from a sports fan perspective, it was amazing because England ended up beating them. I don't know if it went to overtime or whatever they call overtime.
Sure.
Or penalty kicks or whatever, but it was like I've never seen partying in the streets, and it was one of those things like the game ended, people go crazy, and then it was like the front doors to the pub open and everybody just kind of
piles up,
flows out into the streets, and every other place on that street, same thing happened, and it was a really, really cool thing.
Different than what you see, the images of, you know, whether it be Philadelphia or whoever, when they win a Super Bowl here, where they have to grease the street signs and everything.
Right, so people don't climb
them. A little different than that then? A
little bit. Okay. They seemed, I guess, a little more civilized. I don't remember anything crazy happening. That's not to say that it didn't.
It's one of my favorite types of videos to watch. And I'll still, every now and again, I'll go back and look at montages they've made. It's the 2010 World Cup. The United States was in the pool round, I think it's called, and Landon Donovan scored this game-winning goal. And all of these, a lot of these bars, even back then, would have kind of cameras set up.
Yeah.
And so they would make montages of the reaction shots.
Yeah, so you just see everyone sitting there watching intently, and then a goal is scored or whatever, and everybody just goes insane.
It's goosebump-inducing, and I've never had a moment like that to where you can be a part of that. But that sounds like you in England sounds like that was the the closest to it.
It was, it was awesome. It was so cool. I was like 20 years old.
Oh, sure.
And I was in a pub legally drinking.
Yeah.
Because their drinking age is 18 there.
Age 20, you're in England. Was there ever any time where you thought, man, I could see myself like coming back to
absolutely.
Live here and like moving here?
Yeah. I looked because that was my junior year of college.
Right.
And trying to find that was right around the time when I was realizing that the radio industry, because I was barely taking radio classes at that point. And that was right around the point that I realized that the radio, getting a job in the radio industry is not like getting a job. By the way, if you hear that, that's both of our families are directly above us.
There's two children who decided to play. It sounds like they're trying to feed stuff down through the floor to get to you and I here, Steve.
So anyway, but we digress. It was right around that time where I was realizing like getting a job in radio, it's not just going on, you know, uploading my resume to monster.com and then the recruiters come looking.
Yeah.
It was more of like a you got to know someone, a word of mouth type thing.
Ah, surely I'll be headhunted by some big corporation. I'll sit back once they see my 4 months in England and two internships and be crawling to me for work.
Sure. So obviously I had no leads. When I graduated college the following year, I was extremely fortunate to have two part-time radio jobs at that time. So I was working about 30 hours a week or so between those two jobs and overall pretty happy. I was so half of the week I was living at my mom's house working in Philadelphia.
Right. Divorce. So you're in your 20s. Of course, you had to pick mom or dad still.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's what you mean.
Well, it was either that or move to Florida.
So Wednesday, you'd pack up, go to dad's.
No, so I'd live at my mom's house a couple days a week, work in Philadelphia. And then the other part of the week, I would pack up and drive to the shore where I lived at my girlfriend's house at the time for a couple of days working at the radio stations there.
So you pull out of your mom's, let your hair down.
Yeah.
Say, you know. Later, old farts.
Take my clip-on tie off,
throw it out the window, and tear
it
down.
It became very expensive. I just buying clip-on ties week after week.
It was fiscally irresponsible until you started seeing all of your mom's neighbor children walking around wearing clip-on ties.
Yeah.
So you'd tear out of town, head down to the shore,
work there.
Punting shoes, putting on sandals.
Working there for a couple of days and then back and kind of doing the whole thing all over again. And overall, it wasn't that bad, but I wanted a full-time job. I needed like the benefits and everything.
Yep.
So I was looking everywhere. I was sending resumes everywhere for radio jobs, like California, Alaska, Hawaii. Oh, I remember
in my mind, Steve, you're like, I'm looking everywhere. I applied to Los Angeles and New York City and nobody's calling me back.
Yeah. No, I mean, every little job in every little market everywhere because, I had an internship and a little bit of part-time experience, but I had no experience. I was complete entry level. And I remember looking up radio jobs in England thinking, I don't know, maybe it's different there. Maybe they'll, welcome me with open arms.
And I'm guessing over there, they're still running like switchboard style stuff to where, you're plugging like, oh, what's that? You want to talk to the DJ? You're grabbing a cord, plugging it into another knob.
Martha, patch him through. So
and then just
I tried.
Now and again, you yell mate.
I definitely tried. It wasn't for lack of trying. That would have been amazing, though, especially when I'm, 22 years old to live and work in England for a couple of years and then come back here. And
sure. But what do you think the equivalent of what your job is now over there? Is it just nonstop talk about the Royals? And did you see the Queen's Corgi pooped on the road again? And it's like, play a video and laugh about it.
Maybe. I mean, I guess I would assume there has to be the equivalent of the poo-poo caca throwing monkey right. feces at the wall over there, right?
There has to be.
There has to be. Well, that's not a, like, I don't know. Is that a uniquely American thing? Like the funny, you know, attempt to be funny
sure.
morning show? I know they call it a breakfast show.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
So they all got their cups of tea.
Yeah, and their crumpets.
Yeah, and uh-huh. then, you know, they're going from what I'm guessing is horn music that they come out of that.
Just horn music.
Yeah, because it's very regal all the time.
Okay, so.
And their attempt at humor, it's always kind of, it's funny the way it's regarded because this dates back to when The Office debuted over here in America.
Yeah. Are you hearing a buzzing, by the way?
I think I hear like your vacuum.
Oh, that's what it is. There we go.
It dates back to The Office because people were like, oh, Americans won't get it. They won't get it. They won't be able to understand this British humor.
Yeah.
Because we're leaps and bounds ahead of you imbeciles across the ocean.
Right.
And I in my mind, it's still that way over there, but it's probably not, right?
Yeah, I mean, from a radio standpoint, I would have no idea. I don't know.
You ever think about, like, you and Annette, do you ever talk about, hey, you know what? We'll go over there one day. I'll show you all the hot spots.
All the places
that 20 years ago, they're probably closed know, or yeah. shuttered. And
yeah.
It's all just changed.
It's like, funny, though.
This used to be O'Malley's Pub, and now it's KFC.
Right. I remember all of the places, though.
Do you?
Yeah, I remember everyone, like, all the places. There was this one, it was called, like, the Metropolitan.
Yeah.
The Met. So we used to get, that was, like, the place that we used to go to all the time. But the cool thing about living over there was I was at the time it was Regent's College, now Regent's University, and it looked completely stereotypical British building, like with ivy growing up the sides of sure. it and everything. And it was this really cool building that was kind of like a patchwork of what was probably two or three buildings at one point, and then they were eventually joined with quarters and hallways and stuff like that. And the best part about living there was that we didn't have to go outside to get to a pub, because there was a pub like down in the basement.
Oh, okay.
So we were living in the top floor on the yeah. one end, but there was a pub downstairs
yeah.
on the opposite end. So we would just be like, hey, we'd be sitting in our dorm, be like, oh, you want to go grab a pint? All right. And 1 minute later, we'd be belly up at the bar.
Because
I had a goal while I was there. We were there for just shy, I think it was right around 100 days. From the time we left okay. to the time we got back. And I remember I had a goal to consume one alcoholic beverage every day that I was there.
Okay.
And I think I got to like 65 days. And I was just like, this is a chore. Because it would be 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night. I'd be sitting in my room, like finishing up work or whatever. And then it would hit us. Oh, this is me and Ray sharing this dorm.
I didn't even realize yeah. Ray was your overseas partner.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Frank was there too. Frank was like one door down.
Okay.
But yeah, we would every night we'd be like, oh crap. All right, let's go. And we'd go to the bar.
Force
we'd,
yourself.
We'd each order one shot. We'd walk in, throw back a shot. And then we'd be back in our room within 10 minutes total. And it was such a chore that I finally, about 60 some days. Cause Ray was doing the same thing, and then he was just like, I'm done. I quit. And I was like, I'm going to forge ahead without yeah. you. And I made it two more days with him.
But yeah, it overcame you like a wave
yeah.
and realized you couldn't do it.
I can't think
of anything worse in my 30s than living above a bar.
Yeah. Now, luckily, it was like it was a big enough building where it was complete opposite ends.
Yeah, you weren't hearing the foot traffic the DJ or the jukebox
or whatever.
Yeah, I get that. It's the idea of being that age where it's like, yeah, I got to walk downstairs to get to my car through the bar.
Yeah.
To get to, you know, the street level and no way. No. Yeah. Thank you, Steve.
Hey, real quick before we get to some other stuff that we have to get to, a big thanks to We Need to Talk, the podcast that we were on.
Yeah.
We recorded it maybe 3 weeks ago or so, and that episode just came out. And if you look at our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, there are links to how you can download it. Well, Facebook and Twitter, there's a direct link. Instagram, yes. There's their album artwork. But if you just go onto whatever podcast app you use, We Need to Talk, the image, it's like a yellow background and two like caricature looking faces. We are on their most recent episode. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that
we had
was.
A deep dive with Meter and Pepin about omelets, strangely enough.
Yeah, it was.
Because Pepin dropped a bomb about what a traditional normal omelet in his life is. And
yeah.
it sounds stupid, but it completely blew our minds.
One of the nicest, oddest dudes I've ever talked to. Yeah. I mean, some of the stories that you'll hear out of his mouth.
But a very nice, like, he wasn't one of those guys that, like, you look at and you're like, oh, that's a weird dude. Like, seemed like a completely normal
sure.
person. And I bet in an average conversation where you're just like, hey, man, how's your weekend? Oh, good. Like,
yeah.
there wouldn't be any red flags. You get him talking about food, though.
Yeah.
Things are a bit weird.
Yeah, and you would never guess the standard size of one of Pepin's omelets. Just worth your time to listen to just
yeah.
for that discussion. If I remember right, I believe I saw on social media, Timmy was listening to the episode this week and said, boy, was this your podcast or their podcast, the way you overtook it?
Yeah, Timmy honed in on something that we were thinking about in the background, too. Like, oh, boy, I think we kind of monopolized
yeah.
it.
Which, listen, some podcasts might want that, where it's, hey, let's put the focus on you. I have no idea if they wanted that or not.
Yeah.
It just kind of happened, and we've never done it before, I think is the key to remember. It's not like you and I are these seasoned podcast guest vets.
No, that was the second time we had done it.
Yeah.
The first time we had done it was...
that's right.
On another podcast, which I believe is coming out in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, that was with our friend Jesse Douglas. That'll be coming out, I think, soon. Not happy we got backlogged there.
No, not at all.
Real unhappy. I'm actually thinking about emailing and demanding they don't post it. Because I'd assumed we'd be immediate.
You know,
we'd be the big get.
Right.
To where they'd post about it immediately.
And then we still have, we don't yet have a date for, we're going to be on... the commercial break.
That's right.
With Brian and Chrissy, America's most photogenic and lovely podcasters.
Yep. And out of Hot Atlanta.
Hot Atlanta, they call it.
We'll be talking to them here sometime in the next month. That line is still open. We're trying to get something on the books with the brothers Humphrey to go on their little podcast.
I feel like the brothers Humphrey are feeling inconvenienced. When
yeah.
they were the one that, ones that
yeah.
reached out
yeah,
to
Yeah, let's
us.
Talk about this in public then, because I have, we, trying to set something up, and it was a real headache in terms of, well, then it comes down to when I feel like it, and I'm sitting here thinking, hey, we're trying to go out of our way to make this thing work for
you. Like,
we
don't need to, don't feel obligated.
Yeah, you asked us, and then you got indignant when we didn't respond to you immediately. on to your message. So that will hopefully be coming your way soon as well. But again, that line is still open. If you'd like us to be on your podcast and we can do the same, we'd love to have a swap kind of thing.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Have people back on. Let us know. DM us. Message us on Facebook or Instagram, wherever you get a hold of us. Just let us know the name of your podcast and what type of day and time frame works for you. We'll try to make something work. So I've really enjoyed both times we've done it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun both times.
And it's a real extension of what we do here. In that regard, it's kind of us spreading our sense of idiocy to other outlets. It's a virus. It's a real virus.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're slowly going to try to spread that out to other podcasts.
Yeah, I don't want
to
use the term virus, though, because an old shock jock radio program used to use that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. I figured you said that because of the coronavirus.
Well, that too. I mean, but we're pretty much through that at this point,
oh,
right?
Oh, it's done, right?
Yeah.
That's what I heard. We have a lot to get to today, Steve. Did we want to go to the phones first? Did we want to... We have a piece of mail to open?
Oh, well, I mean, come on. You know that whenever we have a segment that has a wonderful intro, I want to get to that immediately.
Okay. Hey, folks. Viewer mail time again. Oh, here's one from Sally, age 14. Dear Pig.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Seamless edit.
I feel like that somehow needs a bed, though, you know, while we open the...
Well, maybe you didn't hear that it does have a bed.
Oh, that's right. No, you're right. I should have known. I made it. Of course.
I mean, if you want, I can loop that indefinitely.
Boy, it's not a terrible idea. You know, really keep that going.
Yeah.
While we open the mail. Mm-hmm.
So this is from our friend Mike Mokris, Whitehall, Pennsylvania. Man. Pass it over to you.
Whoa, look at that postage paid, Steve.
Hey, how about that? Someone figured out the crazy system they got there where you just put enough stamps on it.
Yeah.
Look at you, Trevor. By the way, Trevor, we both tried the Goo Goo clusters. I'm a fan. That was the first time I'd had a Goo Goo cluster.
A little too much peanut.
Too much peanut.
A little too much peanut. Oh, look at this. It's a... Okay, this is something I believe Mike Mokris...
Can I have that envelope back, by the way?
Yeah.
I need an insulation pad for my hard drive here, so I don't have to keep holding it.
My friend Mike messaged me about this coming. Kyle, enjoy the pieces of American history. Let me make sure. Okay. 1930, 1931. What a year. My wife's great-grandfather was a pharmacist with some shady connections in New Jersey. We got these from
probably
her,
my family.
We got these from her grandfather. Cool S. Steve, couldn't send you anything, so enclosed in is an extremely early, far less convenient form of a donation for the cure for the cure. And I'm guessing that's the magnet calendar? I see that's a check.
Okay. Sam, what do you want us to raffle it off or something?
Like, we'd end up bidding a dollar just so it's not...
Right. Well, that's something, Mike. Thanks.
You guys do a really good podcast. Look forward to it more than most. Enjoy also the local calendar for Steve's date check. Live show in Jersey. Friend of the show, Mike Mokris.
Pass that my way. Oh, look at that. It is... Boy, that's a magnet... a magnet calendar, but with peel away. Look at that. Strangely enough, the calendar starts in December.
Of last year.
And, okay, it goes all the way through December of this year. You're lucky, Mike. We'll let it slide.
So Mike had messaged me on Twitter and asked if I was interested, and I said, sure. Like, these sound amazing.
Oh, boy.
Send them to...
Just ripped whatever it is.
No,
oh, no, just the tape.
Yeah, send them to the P.O. box, because I'd like to be able to look at them and
I think those
maybe
have...
talk about them. Okay. Steve, these are pharmacist prescriptions for whiskey during Prohibition.
Wow, let's see this. This is awesome.
This is so cool. So if you see at the top the kind of liquor and the quantity, a quarter.
Boy, it's like they really attempted to make counterfeit money and kind of fell a little bit short.
Yeah.
So they just used them as prescriptions.
It's just these are so cool. And he said he would send me some in lieu of selling them. So this is absolutely outstanding, Mike. Thank you very
much.
That's
amazing.
We'll post some pictures of these so people can see what we're talking about.
So it looks like the date is 12/18/1930.
Yeah. And well, so what would happen, Steve, for anybody who's an idiot during Prohibition, as a way to get access to booze, whiskey, bourbon, whatever it was. And I learned this on my tour of the distillery down in Louisville, Kentucky. I visited last August.
Tell us more, please.
Buffalo Trace, no big deal. And they would, pharmacists would have a supply of whiskey that they could write prescriptions for because they thought that would help with sicknesses and disease. And so people would...
Boy, they really had it right back then, didn't they?
But it's essentially the way that medical marijuana was treated. You know, you'd see that in TV shows where... All you have to do is have a televisit and say, my ear hurts, and you'd get a prescription for medical marijuana. So this is fantastic. Thank you very much, Mike. As well, Steve, as another donation to the cure for the cure.
Oh, it's addressed to me. Now I got to deposit it and
lucky
do something
you.
With it.
It's a memo cure for the cure with one of the most offensively bad signatures.
Let's see.
I think I've seen.
Yeah, it's not great.
That needs some work there, Jitterbug, because...
It looks like it says Mike V. Nazi.
We shouldn't cash that then, right?
No. It'll bring Hitler back to life.
Thanks a lot, Mike. That is outstanding.
He's foiled again. I've been trying the old trick.
My plan, nobody will take my Nazi money. Thank you very much, Mike. We were actually just talking a little bit last night, Steve, about the cure for the cure and how we're going to make that work. My reading, very cursory last night, because I'm getting nervous because we have done
nothing.
No, granted, it's still more than 90 days away.
Oh, boy.
There's
we can't even say 2 months anymore, can we?
Well, 3 months. We're more than 3 months.
Wait, when is
out.
It? It's July. Right?
July 10.
Okay.
So, yeah, more than 3 months.
30 days
away.
In a month. Got it. Check.
How do they do it in England?
Things I learned today.
England, like
90 days is more than 2 months.
60-day month over there in England.
Yeah, yeah.
They run the Gregorian calendar a little bit differently, do they?
Toilets flush backwards and everything.
And that's just so the ocean doesn't rise up and like attack the sea, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Attack the coast?
Yep.
I knew I read the book, right? that we were... Somehow, this stream that... Granted, I thought of the idea to do it. We both jumped on board with this. This is somehow going to run us in the red even further.
Yeah, definitely.
Because looking at how to run it to where... Because I want it a certain way. I don't want it to be some chintzy knockoff thing where you're just watching us do an episode. I kind of want, like you see, with a donation bar on the screen, and we can see as the funds come in, the ability that we still have to talk to people and have graphics on the screen going out to people watching. Mm-hmm. And then I had the idea that we'll live stream all 5 or 6 hours of it. And then after that, we would, if you want to watch it or listen to it, you can buy access to it, whether behind a video or audio of it. So that's a whole nother avenue that we have to unlock. There has been zero prep. So last night I had a bit of a mini panic attack and
yeah, I saw a flurry of texts come
in.
Thought while I was slaving over a hot bucket of grout.
That's right.
Putting tiles up.
D.I. Steve was at it.
Mm-hmm.
Too busy doing D.I. Steve while I was sitting over here fretting about a thing more than 90 days away.
Yeah. The reason I'm not really worried about it yet is because we haven't even picked a charity yet.
Well,
so,
that's the problem.
So they're not missing out on anything yet.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, listen, we've gotten two donations that now total well over $150, Steve, between our two donations. Because we take a cut.
What did the other...
I think it's on that pile somewhere. It's got to be somewhere.
Boy, this would be a real...
Oh, it's right there.
If we already...
Yeah, we've got a real good security system.
We lost our one donation.
We've got a really good security system going on.
I just thought of the charity.
Okay.
And it's a charity that has some history with this podcast.
Okay.
The LLDA.
Oh!
The Limbless Dogs Association. Yes,
that's
limbless.
Right. That's two. That's the first two. The LLDA. That means, boy, poor Philip is going to have to get to work on that. On the...
Was it
the boxing
was it Rock'em Sock'em Robots?
Like, but, yeah.
Like a puppet. Like
marionette robots, and the only people in attendance
were limbless dogs.
Well, that was a good bit.
That was a great bit. I bet that was from the glory days, when 2017.
Well, if you want to know the glory days, we just have to get Stephen Humphrey on the phone, because he has no qualms about telling us when we've sucked for long stretches of time, right? So, the cure for the cure is in the forefront of my mind, and we are still making very cursory plans on how to do this. If anybody has any experience with it and would like to reach out, that would be tremendous as well. For any tips or pointers for us on how to logistically do it, we'll be able to figure it out. We're both relatively savvy, but if anybody with experience has done something like this, it'd be neat to be able to have an insider's perspective.
I'm thinking something like Twitch, because I know that a lot of times gamers will stream.
Yep.
Like they'll do streaming marathons.
Yep.
Where they're raising money and they'll have counters on the screen and everything. So there has to be, I'm sure that it's possible. We just have to figure it out.
Yeah. So that, stay tuned for that. More details as we come along. I'd really like to get a charity picked here this month, yeah. And then start,
well, we just picked one
and start getting, some guests lined up, people we can talk to during these 6 hours. Cause Lord knows.
Who are you thinking? Like, you want local celebrities?
No.
People to come on over to the...
I think we try to get Brian from Pop Culture Leftovers on again. People that we may have spoken to in the past that we really enjoyed. Maybe we see how Josh's baby is doing that you may cry. You know?
But I don't know if Josh, the guy whose baby I made cry, really qualifies as, like,
Well, that's not a celebrity. No,
big name guest.
No, but just people to talk to.
Hey, stay tuned. We're talking to a guy whose baby I made cry
like
once.
Maybe we get LT no offense, on the Josh. Line.
Oh, LT.
Call in the big gun so I can just go away. Now, I'm thinking because we each need to have filler content ready. And Okay. Maybe because this is going to be a long time. We're each going to need maybe a bathroom break, maybe a water break, whatever. Right. A few minutes away from the mic.
By the way, I'm picturing this whole thing taking place outdoors.
I mean, in a perfect world. Sure. I mean, if it's not 90 degrees or if it's not raining,
that would be
nice. But it's also a long time just sitting outside.
Yeah, well, we'll get an umbrella or something.
But we each need to have filler content, Steve. So I'll have like my top five Houston Rockets from the 80s.
Okay.
You'll have your top five Jeep designs from the 2000s.
Yeah.
Things like that. We each need to have like...
Didn't really change much.
We each need to have... some filler list of things we want to talk about that can fill some time.
Yeah. We're going to have open phones throughout the whole time too. But if know that if you call in to the Cure for the Cure, the first question we're going to ask is, what can we put you down for?
Yep. And if you say you already have, the goal is that I'll be able to, you know, be staring at the running tally.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're lying to me, we're hanging up on you.
Yeah. If I don't see, like while we're talking to you, if I don't see your donation pop up on the little ticker, within, I don't know, 15 seconds of you getting on the phone, you're out of here.
Yeah, I think there should be a minimum dollar amount if you want to get on the phone with us that, you know, hey, you donated at least $20, $25. We'll talk to you for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You want to pick Steve's brain about a Jeep?
Yeah.
That should be $1 million so I don't have to sit through it.
Happy to do it.
You want an on-the-fly hot take, certain amount of dollars. So we'll set all of those rewards and all that stuff up as soon as we figure out how to. But yeah, Saturday, July 10, that event is on published on Facebook. I pushed it to all social media last week, but seeing as we're in the middle of poll badness 2021, a lot of that stuff kind of gets a little bit buried.
Mm-hmm.
So we still have a few more things that we need to get to, Steve. Did we want to get into poll badness? Did we want to talk to our friend Brian?
Let's get into... let's jump into poll badness.
Yeah. Oh, been so long.
We'll just give you a quick recap of where we are with this.
I'll go through the Sweet 16 for you.
Yeah.
Oh, this just hits the right way. Doesn't this make you want to go out to the local schoolyard and shoot hoops?
No, it makes me want to get in the ring. Here we go. If you want to be the best, you got to be a fighter. If you want to be the best, you've got to show
desire.
That's right. All right, folks. Give us the Sweet 16.
We are through two rounds officially of Poll Badness 2021.
Now, in your opinion, has it been worth it?
Yeah, because I like seeing what people think is funny and like what we've done that people remember throughout the year. I like the look back, so I enjoy seeing this come to fruition. Do I like sitting there and counting commented votes on three different social media platforms?
Not so much. Never. I voted in one.
I saw it when I was counting. I was like, wait a minute, is that Steve?
It was the only one. It just popped up and I was like, B.
For the second time, let me try to find it, Steve. I had to go to my wife for a tiebreaker. So she had to tiebreak one in round one.
So she had to like log in and
no,
cast
I just
a
asked
vote.
Her. She was sitting next to me. I asked her.
I think that you need to make her actually go and like we got to uphold the sanctity.
I'll
of
have
this.
Her go back 2 weeks and 45 social media posts to vote.
Oh God!
On
it's so funny.
2 weeks ago,
if you go to our Instagram and you just pull up like our profile and you scroll, it looks like we've uploaded the same picture
every time.
48 times so far.
Steven, a nail biter in the round of 32. The number 16 seed narrowly fell to the number 9 seed. That would have been a number 16 seed in the Sweet 16. So is a horse racing a donkey through the desert a classic tortoise and the hare situation? Is bounced. Worry not, though, Steve. There's still some Cinderella stories to be had here in the Sweet 16. So your remaining matchups for the Sweet 16, Steve. Does the hard hat go over or under the cowboy hat?
Mm, yeah, tough question.
Takes on, are the only people who agree with Steve on polls sheep, dumb people, and dickheads? The number four seed has had a strong showing so far in the tournament. Next up, the number three seed, do they make boxing gloves for shark fins? Now, this is why I'm surprised this one has made it so far. Because this is one of the polls that prompted you and I to get upset on the podcast. Because
people took it so seriously.
Yeah, it's like they forgot the joke.
Of course they don't.
They forgot that we're a podcast that's based on stupidity like this and voted like 52% no. Like, well, how could you be so dumb? How? They take on the number two seed. Now that coronavirus is dominating the headlines, are the sharks making their move?
Mm, so I remember that.
Two shark polls. One will leave. Just the way it all should all work with the sharks.
Yeah, but it just shows that they're... What if they join forces?
And they both make it? The number nine seed, has anyone willingly eaten a Salisbury steak in the last 15 years? Takes on another really strong show, surprising. The number five seed, will there inevitably be a war on the Zach with armies led by Steve and the Frisboers?
I like the one about the Salisbury steak because of the way it was worded.
Yeah.
Not... Have you willingly eaten a Salisbury steak? Has anyone?
A blanket. Like, outside of that being your only option at, high, at you know, the cafeteria for lunch, have you eaten a Salisbury steak? Mm-hmm. Number six seed. Now, Steve, I know I've said it a few times. That this number six seed is a real front runner for making the final four.
Oh,
I underseeded is what happened.
Okay.
Is Steve the nutmeg of the side gig?
Ah, Baldy and Nutmeg.
Takes on one of my favorites, though. Number two is Sonny Bono, the godfather of
the ski tree incident.
Which is just inarguable in its factual basis.
Yeah.
Number eight seed, does this podcast end with a slip and fall lawsuit? Coming off an upset of the number one seed, Steve, that number eight moves on to the Sweet 16. Versus number four, do you tip an elevator operator after successful elevation?
I just love the wording of that one.
Thanks for the elevation, sir.
And you do that thing where you
have the,
you shake his hand.
$2 right? in your fingers.
But it's got to, if you're tipping an elevator operator, it's got to be like a $2 bill.
Yeah, right. It's old timey.
Yeah.
It's a silver dollar
yeah, and
or
you
a
flick
$2
it.
Bill. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to Ding! Flick
as you walk away. Right? So you don't see if he catches it or not. Number six. Well,
no, of course he doesn't catch it because he's busy closing that cage.
That's right. The only people who need operators are elevators with cages, right?
Yeah.
The number six seed is turning the hat backward on your ride, an official passing of the scoot torch, which is what happened sold the scoot.
Just about a year ago.
I would say I had questions today about the scoot.
Okay.
But, you know, maybe we'll get to that another time.
Well, no. I mean, we have to.
Well, nothing pertinent. It was just, you know, how are you emotionally handling it as we approach the year anniversary?
You know.
But maybe next week. Versus number seven is the Good and Plenty, the Edmund Fitzgerald of the candy world. That's right. Comparing a box candy to a disaster,
maritime disaster
from 40 years ago.
Yeah.
The only number one seed, Steve, who made the Sweet 16 were the apostles known for chiseling the word boobs into rocks.
I remember that one. People getting very upset about, too.
That's got a real Gonzaga feel to it, though. They're steamrolling through competition right now. Like, when I'm counting the votes, it's 3-1. They're absolutely dominating their competition so far. Versus the number 13 seed, are you related to your spouse? Lastly, the final matchup of the Sweet 16. Again, these will all be this week live on our social media. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Steve and Kyle. That's where you need to comment to vote.
Yeah, I think I'm going to spread them out a bit more this week.
Well,
because,
we only have 8 matchups. So.
Yeah, so maybe I'll do like 2 Tuesday, 2 Wednesday, 2 Thursday, 2 Friday. Kind of stagger them throughout the day. So that way people aren't just... The problem with doing 32 matchups
is...
Yeah, I mean, it's just... There's so many... And people get tired of them so quickly. So, you know, we'll spread them out a bit more.
Couple chances for Cinderella here in the final matchup seed. The number 11 seed. What are Frisbee people referred to as? Frizzers or Frisbos?
Frisbos.
Versus the number 10 seed. Is the packing peanut industry still around? So we are guaranteed at least one double-digit seed to make the Elite Eight.
Oh, boy, that's exciting.
So stay tuned. Those will be live on social media this week. This has been I've enjoyed seeing it because we seated all these. We were in the decision den or the discussion den.
The discussion den.
And we seated all these and it, you know, watching people's reaction to them. You know, only one number one seed has made the final 16. A real upset laden tourney so far. So thanks everybody who has voted and who continues to vote there at Steve and Kyle.
Yeah. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can vote on all of them. Even after the fact, you can still go back and just look at some of the matchups.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you want to look back and see how the bracket went, because trust me, I tried to make a bracket. I did. It is impossible to fit the text of these polls into a bracket of 64 that you can still legibly read. So yeah. I'm sorry. I wanted to do it. Well, hopefully by next year, if we do it this way again, I'll have something better figured out.
Maybe next year, the bracket can be something that is just text-based, and then we could easily come up with a bracket. Like, perhaps if we could come up with, because I know that we've probably come up with hundreds of different spin-off podcasts that we wanted to do on the show. Maybe we could have a list of them.
I mean, if like, we had a list of all of our characters we've created, you know, Tom Yeddo, the Apple and Egg Eater, you know, we've got one-eyed someone. I don't remember all of them is the problem.
There was, wasn't there Switchblade someone?
There's Seasonal Sammy.
Seasonal Sammy.
There's so many, but yeah. I don't remember.
Scarecorn. Corn Man and Scarecorn.
Corn Man and Scarecorn. So maybe we can do a bracket of your favorite Steve and Kyle character or caricature.
Throughout the years.
Yeah, but the problem's going to be digging through and trying to remember all of those that we've created. But
yeah.
I mean, Slipknot Joe, the Lattice Man.
Slipknot, that's what it was. I was thinking Switchblade Joe.
We got Slipknot Joe. But
we got Wreck.
I was going to say, we don't even need to run the tournament. Because we've got Wreck, and he's the one seed, and it's over.
He's going to win.
Because he's the one seed who had we were able to play an audio platform of him.
This is Sam, or Sam, this is Wreck.
I mean, just what you would expect a man named Wreck to sound like.
God, why don't I have that saved?
Well, that needs to be whenever we get around to hooking up this expensive new mixer we bought that's sitting on the ground. We need to put that on the hotkeys.
Remember the hurry to order that and get the...
You were like, hey, if it's there on Monday, I'll get it on the way home from your mailbox. And we did. Yeah. I barely opened the package to make sure it was there.
Yeah.
Handed it to you at my front door.
Yeah.
That was 2.5 weeks ago, it seems like.
Well, yeah, honestly, it feels longer than that. So, man, I don't feel as bad.
Has not been very fast. But yeah, we'll... I think it's kind of neat to do something different every year, too. Mm-hmm. For the March Madness tournament that we try to replicate. Oh, sorry. The March...
third month sports. Of the year craziness.
Yeah. That's what I should change. I should make a break of the final 16. Third month of the year craziness. Parentheses, pull badness. So it's like a movie with a subtitle. Steve, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago and then, as typical, forgot about it. Mm-hmm. Talked to... my friend, or our friend, Brian Krause yesterday said he would be around for us to give him a call. We have a lot of questions because, as you know, it was the Jewish holiday Passover this past week.
Yep.
Passover happened? It was Passover? How do you refer it? Was Passover one day?
I believe Passover is just one day.
Just one of many reasons, Steve, that we need to get our friend Brian on the phone so we can ask him all of the details about Passover, Rumspringa, how his family celebrated the holiday.
Jew.
Actually, I'm all good. We don't need to get him on the phone.
You don't even want to?
I mean, I'd love to talk to him, but
God,
I love that
intro.
It's really an excuse to play that intro, right?
I love it so much. All right, so we'll dial up Brian. Where's Brian from? Where's the 603 area code?
So we'll get Brian on. I believe he's in New Hampshire.
That sounds about right.
Hello?
Hello, Brian Krause. How are you, sir?
Yes. Very well, sir. And yourself?
Good. It's the Steve and Kyle podcast.
Yep. Well, it comes up as Steve and Kyle, so I kind of...
Oh, look at that. Oh. Okay, you got our number saved.
Boy, oh boy.
I got it saved.
What a rousing welcome it is, Brian. Yeah. It's been a while. Brian, before we get into
it. I can't wait to listen back to that and just hear the awkward pause and then, yep.
Before well, I didn't know if you needed me to talk or well, I was waiting for you to talk.
No, it's all right. It's all right. Brian, at ease. We're off to a fantastic start.
I think it was handled beautifully on all ends. Brian, before we get into the Passover holiday and how you and your family celebrated or spent the day, many, many thank you. You sent us a nice gift package a while ago. We haven't had a chance to properly thank you. A couple of dreidels included in there. Some
yes.
candy, some nice chocolate candies. I forget what else was included, but yeah, very nice gift package. So thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. I know you've already gotten plenty of entertainment out of the dreidels.
The dreidels, they sit proudly on one of our shelves. Mm-hmm. And whenever we have any, basically, I don't know if we're using them correctly. In fact, I'm sure we're not using them correctly. But we use them almost like a coin if we have a decision to make.
Yeah.
Or we have to determine who's going to, you know, who gets to go first or second. We spin the dreidels and we arbitrarily assign each of the symbols a ranking. And then whoever gets the best one wins.
Yeah.
That's how you do it, right?
I mean, honestly, is there really any wrong way to use a dreidel?
You know? That's a good question.
You know, seeing as
I feel like we should be asking you that. Yeah.
Seeing as we now, we have the dreidels. We have the dreidels. We use them. We have enjoyed the candy you sent us. Are you able, or do you need to go maybe above your head to now put us in and maybe nominate us as honorary members of the Jewish community? Is that possible for you to do?
I don't think I have that kind of power there.
Okay. No.
Now, Phyllis, now bring us back up to speed, because the last time we talked to you, was it last year? Maybe the year before last? I don't even remember.
Oh,
well, it doesn't really matter.
I don't remember offhand.
But
yeah.
Now you had said that growing up, you didn't really celebrate the Jewish holidays until later in life. Was that it? Am I remembering that correctly?
Kind of not really. I've never really been I don't want to say hardcore Jew. I'm.
Well, that just makes it seem like you turn your hat backwards and go skateboarding.
Yeah. probably more like, you know, the traditional kind of Easter Sunday Christian type of, you know, every so often.
Right.
Growing up, it, definitely not. My dad got remarried when I was, I think, 16. And then they decided at that point that they
wanted to be
more involved in that. And I kind of got involved through that.
Okay.
You know, so my knowledge is very limited. I don't really do much. You know, I didn't marry a Jewish woman. So, mm-hmm. you know, most of my is kind of, you know, we light the Hanukkah candles. It's been a few years since I've gone to a Seder. Obviously nothing last year. But we used to go to my father's and we'd go do Passover Seder and we'd do go down at like Rosh Hashanah. That's probably about the limit of my involvement.
Gotcha.
Okay. So let me ask you this about, you know, when you decided to start being more involved, did you remember much, or was it like a blank slate for you when you decided to
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The most from my childhood is I remember always almost every year going to a Seder. But I also remember the Seder being pretty much like a 5-minute version, if you will. You know, like you get a little booklet and there's, you know, the head of the family would do, you know, they would read through certain sections and every few minutes they'd be like, okay, let's skip ahead 3 pages and let's skip ahead 2 pages. So there's a lot of that.
The Seder is it a dinner?
Yes and no. It's kind of a ceremony built around dinner.
Okay.
There's a whole bunch of different steps. So you have this little book. It's called a Haggadah.
Haggadah?
I always remember it. H-A-G-G-A-D-A-H, I believe is the spelling.
Love their ice cream.
And it's like cookie dough. If you remember the like essay composition books you would get in high school,
yeah,
you know, little blue books.
Uh-huh.
It's about that size, maybe a little. It's like maybe 30 or 40 pages thick,
mm-hmm.
and it has the ones we always had, and I don't know if there are different versions. We always had one side of the page was in English, and the other side was in Hebrew.
Oh, wow.
And you would read through, and it would say, you know, step one, you know, and it would be, you know, do X, Y, Z, you know, depending on where you were at in the ceremony. And there would be, someone would read a little passage or a prayer, and then after you read that, you might pass a certain food item around the table. It was like bitter herbs.
Okay.
I think to fill the fish, you know, just, and you would take a small sample. At various points, the adults would be asked to drink a cup of wine. My wife likes to refer to it as the Jewish drinking game, because I believe it's like four times you have to drink a cup of wine. So,
I gotcha.
You know, she likened it to that. So it kind of made it a little entertaining. You know, it'd be like, okay, everybody drink.
Now, the Wikipedia for the Seder, for the Passover Seder, Brian, mentions, you know, the partaking of foods, and you mentioned the four cups of wine, eating matzah, and then it finally mentions reclining in celebration of freedom. So is that the point where you and the whole family kind of gets in all of your recliners and simultaneously uses the lever to kick the recliner up?
All your feet go up? Yep. Or do you have like a sectional couch where the whole thing is a recliner?
I don't recall that ceremony. that must have been a different sect of the Judaism religion.
No, it's funny because I have quite a few Jewish friends, and my knowledge of it obviously is very limited, and but I wondered because last week I saw a lot of them posting photos of Passover Seder, and I remember looking at it and I'm like, man, like, I don't mean to pass judgment, but that looks like the crappiest dinner I've ever seen because it's it's just like little, like you said, herbs and stuff like that. But now realizing that it's not an actual like, hey, let's sit down and feast dinner. It makes a lot more sense.
It's kind of like two courses, if you will. The first course is you go through the ceremony, and then when we would finish, and you know, like I said, as a kid, it was a very quick version. And I always took it as more of a good reason to have a, you know, a nice big family dinner.
Yeah.
More than anything. You know, and it was a way to, you know, kind of keep the tradition going. And I always remember it would be, you do the ceremony, and then once that was done, my grandparents, when we did it there, it was at one of my aunts and uncles usually, they had the... It was hide the matzah, and they would hide a few pieces of matzah depending on how many kids were in the house. You know, there would be that many, and each kid would go out and find one. You'd get a couple bucks in cash or something.
Couple kinda bucks,
like Easter
couple,
egg hunt.
Yeah, a couple bucks. Like that's a decent haul.
I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember the exact amount. I could be, you know, it could have been a dollar for all I know. It would, you know, and then once that was done, then it was the dinner, and it was almost always brisket, which is, you know, one of our favorite.
Oh, that is a solid. That is a solid choice.
Way to end the day, right there.
That is a good decision there.
Now, Brian, before we let you go, how old are your children now?
I have one who's 18 and off to college next year.
Oh, wow,
which is scary. And my other one turned 16 in a month.
Okay, Brian, how old are you?
I am 48 going on 49.
I always assumed talking to you that you were like 31, maybe.
Yeah.
Nope.
Well, you have a very young sounding voice.
That I were. Yeah.
So, well, now that your children are that old, they already went through. This has been a couple of years now. Can you recap how their Rumspringa was a couple of years ago?
Don't recall them having
Oh, so they came back. Well, that's great news, Brian. That's fantastic news.
Last time I checked, still not a Jewish thing. But...
Well, we'll check in next year and just to see if anything else.
Brian, as always, thank you for your expertise. It was good to hear from you again.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks much.
Take care. Happy Passover.
Happy Easter tomorrow, too.
All right. Have a good day.
Is it Happy Passover? Thanks. It's got to be Happy Passover, right? Have a good Passover. Happy Passover.
Joyous Passover. Boy. I guess we'll have to put that down on the list of questions to ask Brian next year.
Next year, or we try to double up this year and go Hanukkah.
Or do we call him back? Do Do we text him? Shoot him a quick text?
Did he say? Yeah. Did we offend him by saying a happy Passover?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. He doesn't seem like he's offended.
No, no, no.
Brian was the one who gave me a very verbal thumbs down on that intro when we debuted it a couple of years ago. And I asked him if, you know, I apologized. Said, is it offensive? If you find it offensive, we'll get rid of it immediately. And he said, no, he just didn't think it was very good.
Well, I know at least two people who disagree.
Just to show you how wrong he is.
Jew.
Unlike Yom Kippur, which occurs in the fall and is a somber holiday, it's appropriate to wish someone a happy Passover because it's also about celebrating life after being enslaved.
I never get answers to the questions I really have. I still don't know what Passover is. I still don't know what Rosh Hashanah is. Mm.
I believe Passover is the celebration. Yeah, the celebrating of life after being enslaved. So,
okay, I obviously know what Rumspringa is.
These are all questions for next year.
Next time, just pile to the list. Maybe next year will be the first year I get an answer that I actually have a question that's actually meaningful outside of me asking if his grown children enjoyed Rumspringa in their teenage years.
Thank you once again, Brian. It's always a pleasure to talk to him.
Got a few polls from last week, Steve. If you have the lovely Melissa Vaughn ready to introduce that for me.
Time to see how wrong everyone else is. It's poll recap time. Find the polls at Stephen Kyle on Twitter.
That's right. Thank you very much, Melissa. As always, enjoy the other side of the pond. Did you ever say that when you were over there? Like, oh, boy, a couple months, I got to go back across the pond.
No, but I remember saying back to the States. I don't think I ever said stateside.
You must have been such an ass.
I don't know why you have to be offensive. But I do know why, because that's what you do.
I just imagine knowing you then and just having to sit down from being dizzy from my eyes rolling so hard.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember my friends who I was over there with telling me that I basically looked like Captain America because that was when I had like blonde parted down the middle hair and, you know, wore like USA America t-shirts.
As we talked about before, you obviously thought you're going to go over there, have sex with half the nation's women because you're an American man.
Yeah. Because I have an exotic accent to them.
Yeah.
Oh boy, did I really thought that something like that was going to happen.
Yeah, you
just based on movies.
Yeah, you thought the loves. That's what I was going to. I wanted to ask Brian something about, you know, Jewish, how they're portrayed in movies as well. Add the list for next year.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you thought you were coming home with a overseas British love interest that you would then have to figure it out how to make it work.
Yeah.
Eventually, one of you would have to move across the pond.
Yeah.
To be with the other.
Oh, boy. Don't even get me started on the relationship status at that time. Oh, just a
messy. All messy.
Yeah.
Steve, last week, are rolling centuries a thing as you developed your idea that the new deal of the century happened, even though the last one happened about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
56% of the audience said no. So not that.
Okay.
Not that big of a difference. So there's. Mm. There's a group of idiots out there who think your idea is valuable.
Yeah.
Is Steve going to hate the Comanche after it's fully rebuilt? 65% of the audience said yes.
Oh, no.
My favorite poll maybe ever. Rank Steve's loves. Your options were Jeeps, the movie Rad, family, and neighbors. Okay. How would you like me to read these results? First to fourth or fourth
just
to first?
Just give it to me straight.
Okay, you're
actually no. Go bottom to top.
Bottom to top with less than 4% of the vote.
Oh, no.
Steve, your least loved item is neighbors.
Okay.
I thought it was a horse race between neighbors and family.
Yeah.
And I was right. Because with less than 19% of the vote,
my family.
Family was third place.
Oh, I'm happy my wife doesn't listen anymore.
Steve, your second favorite love with 25% of the vote, the movie Rad.
Yeah.
And your number one love with not just a winning a percentage of the vote, a majority of the vote.
Of course.
With 52.5% of the vote.
Yeah.
Jeeps is Steve's number one love.
We'll get now that it's out there, I feel better.
Maybe a little Jeep talk next week, as I had some questions walking in today. I thought things were different than what I saw them when I was walking into your home. And I was quite stunned.
Yeah, because you came in through the garage. Normally it's front door, but you got to walk through the lab.
Got a little peek at the Comanche, which you probably could have hired a couple of cavemen to build a Comanche from scratch by now, and it would have been done.
Look, this was never planned to be a fast project.
I need to tell you very quickly, we've talked about him. We need to talk to him. He's reminded me numerous times that he submitted a review probably 5 years ago now, or 4.5 years ago, to get on the list for 2 minutes of Awkward Conversation, and we never called him. And he invited us up to the Upper Peninsula to go jeeping.
My friend Chris.
He was in town last night, and we were talking a little Jeep because he drove his piece of junk Jeep to my house.
What's he got?
I don't even know.
Is it a Cherokee?
Piece of crap one. It looked like it was missing part of the front end. So instead of having that full front, you know, that looks kind of squared off, it was like missing the whole bottom half.
Like a bumper?
I think it was just the bumper. But, you know, wires dangling. It's just a piece of garbage. They're leaving last night from our house, and
Right. He has a wife. That always surprises me.
His wife's getting in the passenger seat. No interior lights turn on because there are none. And
she must be a saint.
We were sitting. Oh, she is. Good. I don't know how she's done it for as long as she has. We were talking about the Comanche a tiny bit, Steve.
Really? The Comanche? You should have called.
And he said, I can't believe he's actually fixing the rust.
Really?
He said that is one of like the most difficult, labor intensive, longest, I believe the word dumbest things to do was used as well.
Look, the fact that like 260,000 of these were produced and 260,000 of them rusted out, that's God's way of saying this was a bad idea.
Yeah. You're going to be one of 260,000 rust-free in the year 2026 when this thing's on the road.
And then something's going to happen. A deer's going to run out in front of me. Or
you're going to blow a tire and hit a guardrail on like day two.
It's going to be a disaster. Yeah. I should just sell it now, get my parking spot back in the garage, because, man, this was a rough winter parking outside.
Yeah, that's a harken back to your... Yeah. Did you even not have a garage at your apartment when you moved here?
Oh, no garage at the apartment.
Okay,
yeah.
So that was the last time you were outside of projects and small breaks for having a garage.
Honestly, the majority of the time I've been here, I haven't had a garage. Well, I had a garage at my old house, but that was also the time when I had two trucks.
Oh, that's
so
right.
So one of them would always be parked in there,
that's right.
Which would mean that I would have to park the other one out in the street.
Yeah.
And and then at Annette's house, I couldn't park in the garage there because that was her garage. And
So you've become accustomed to the teenage way of life of driveway parking.
I'm going to build a garage. It's going to happen.
You have one.
Well, yeah, I know, but like a workshop.
Oh, okay. Like, I got you. Yeah. I thought you literally meant like another stall to your garage.
I'm going
to
put it in front of my current one. Yeah, so this, and then it'll have a door on the front and the back.
A drive through. You know, so it's like a two deep just on the second stall.
Yeah.
Do you have to knock three times to get to the wirer? 72% of the audience said yes. It's obvious.
Of course, yeah.
It's very obvious. And lastly, would you read a book titled The Dynamics of the Zach, written by me? 58% of the audience said yes, they would. I would be honored to write that. I don't know where to start, considering your neighbors won't talk to you. The one neighbor won't talk to you.
Yeah, although Annette did say that when she was coming back from somewhere, I think a walk yesterday, they were pulling out of the driveway, and she said that they both gave enthusiastic waves.
Oh, no, it's too late. It's too late.
It kind of is. It's been a year and a half.
Yeah, it's been too long for them to now decide we can be somewhat cordial. I don't know if the person in jail that they're in witness protection from met an untimely demise, and so now they're more comfortable or what. But you know what? Frisboers, no. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. Those are your polls this week, again, at Steve and Kyle on Twitter.
So now the return of the long-awaited...
Best Five Sources! 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You almost forgot about this, didn't you?
Not when almost. I did. Yeah. Otherwise, I wouldn't have gone through the polls because of the time.
Yeah, the time is of the essence. Now, we are going to do the Fast Five in the way that it was designed.
Yep, word association.
The way that we envisioned it from the beginning, some almost 5 years ago. Did I go first last time, or did you? One year ago.
Let me look at my notes. Boy, looks like I went first last time, Steve.
All right,
you go ahead.
I guess I'm going to go first this time then. Number one, vaccinations, specifically COVID-19 vaccinations.
Good to see the number going higher.
Next, the Suez Canal boat. The Ever Given, I think it was called.
It turned into an internet meme that, again, not funny. Maybe I'm just not internet savvy enough to find funny, but good God, none of those jokes were funny.
Number three, I don't know how to say his name. Is it Derek Chauvin?
Chauvin
trial. The Derek Chauvin trial kicked off this week.
I am not optimistic.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. There's just no track record to show me that someone's going to be held accountable for what happened.
Yeah, you're right. Next, the Olympics coming up this summer.
Yeah, August, Tokyo, the 2020 Olympics. I think they're still calling them the 2020 Olympics as well. I like the Olympics. I mean, I don't know how it's going to look this year, but I like watching.
Not allowing any foreign...
Nobody from outside. I'm curious what they're going to do in terms of, can residents go?
Spectators. Right. I'm saying. Yeah, not allowing any foreign spectators.
Yep. I'll be curious. I'm always interested, and even more so now, to see the appearance, because these countries spend billions of dollars to make this infrastructure and these venues, and for them to now say we can't even sell tickets.
Yeah.
It's even more of a money hole than they usually are.
And finally, Major League Baseball opening day yesterday.
You know, I've become jaded because as I age into my sports fandom, I become more jaded about my teams, because when you're a kid, all you care about is, well, they're not good, but maybe they'll be better. But now I see, I peel back the curtain a little bit and see, oh boy, these owners are raking in billions, and they're kind of slapping the players around in terms of a non-guaranteed contract. And I like it less and less.
Yeah.
But there I was.
Still watching.
TV was on, watching the Detroit Tigers opening day.
How'd they do?
They won an upset. I did not expect them to win.
Undefeated.
They beat another crappy team.
Undefeated.
But they won. Cool to see, even though in Detroit it was 30 degrees and snowing. And looked miserable to be there for the 4,000 people who paid tickets.
And for the turnaround back to the Olympics, are you going to watch?
Yeah, I'll be tuning in.
Because I don't think that, like, the lack of diverse spectatorship, I don't care.
Yeah.
If
there's going to be people in the stands, it'll still feel somewhat normal. And I'm always a little bit curious. Like, I get a little bit less interested when I find out stuff's tape delayed, because when we have the internet now, you can just find it. I mean, we're not in 1980 Lake Placid, where people didn't know the United States hockey team beat Russia until it aired.
Right.
We're in a day and age now where it's, hey, there's this big event, but it didn't air live. Well, you can tune in at 8 o'clock on NBC.
Yeah.
Feels a little bit like, well, I know it's going to happen, but it's still, I don't know. It's a little bit, but yeah, I'll be there.
The Derek Chauvin trial.
Not optimistic. I haven't been following it because I don't want to get caught in the weeds or deep in the weeds about the minutia of who's blaming who and what. We all know what happened. I'm not optimistic. I'm just more curious to see how the public and people are going to react when this thing ends.
Yeah, I saw one clip that kind of went viral from a woman was testifying. She was a firefighter, paramedic.
Sure.
And there was a very testy back and forth between her and the defense attorney. It annoyed me for her, because he was trying to ask questions, and she was like, no, that's not how my job works. You don't know what you're talking about.
Oh.
I do. But he was trying to back her into a corner to say something.
Yeah, an interesting defense theory for the police officer who's charged here. So. Yeah.
And first one on the list, vaccinations. The Fauci ouchie.
Yeah, so...
You got your Fauci ouchie, right?
I'm halfway home.
Me too.
Halfway home. I am most pleased with the number that you see whenever they release a poll about people who are hesitant to get it.
Mm-hmm.
That number is dropping. There's always going to be a group who is not going to be interested in getting it, but that number is going down. I think the Johnson & Johnson vaccine had a lot to do with it.
Because it's one shot?
One shot, and it's a name people recognize a little bit more than Moderna, which was, before this, was literally known for never providing a medical vaccine that worked. before this. So, yeah. But Pfizer also kind of known, but mostly known for, you know, Viagra and not vaccinations. So, I'm happy to see that number go down, but boy, it still feels like slow going, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But we went to, the other day, where we are in Michigan, they opened it up to, originally it was going to be April 5th, this coming, 2 days from now. By the way, it is Saturday, April 3rd, 2021.
Oh, welcome.
The year of our Lord, the Stephen Kyle podcast. Originally, April 5th was the date that they had set for anyone 16 and older to be eligible to get the vaccine. And then last week, kind of out of nowhere, 6 days early, a message went out. Luckily, I got a text from a coworker who said he just happened to be sitting in line at a parent, at a, you know, kid pickup at his kid's school, and just happened to like refresh one of the news sites as the notification went out.
Yep.
He sent everyone on the show a link. He's like, "Hey, vaccinations are open. Just set one for tomorrow." Luckily, I got the message immediately. Immediately ran upstairs, grabbed my my health insurance card.
Yep.
Went onto the website, booked me and Annette appointments for the next day.
Sure.
And by that night, you couldn't book an appointment anymore.
Already full.
So wow. We went there on, I think it was Tuesday, and it was awesome. The amount of people that showed up to get it, and just, they really, really did a great job of organizing it, keeping people separated, and it, like, you knew exactly what you had to do when you got in there, and it was awesome.
Yeah, both my parents were vaccinated at the same place, and commented about how smooth and how quick it ended up going.
Yeah, it was great.
Considering the amount of people going in.
And we were walking out of there, and it was, Annette and I were commenting to each other about how cool it was just to be out somewhere and like somewhat interacting with people. Everyone there was so happy.
Yeah.
Everybody, as you were walking, "Hey, thanks for coming in. Have a good day. See you in 3 weeks."
A change in tone as there's like this, you know, light at the end of the tunnel that everybody can see.
We'll still screw it up somehow, though.
Yeah.
Don't you worry.
Don't worry.
And that was it.
Fast Five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Steve, first in the Fast Five for me this week, Matt Gaetz.
I don't really know much about this.
I only know the headlines, but it sounds like it's only getting worse.
Yeah, I know that there was an awkward exchange between him and Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, and I can see why it would be awkward. I haven't even seen that. I only know the news and the investigation going on around him. Second, Easter. You're an Easter fan.
The biggest. The bunny and everything. Candy? Jelly beans?
Tier 4 holiday, officially, I believe.
I mean, but look, you have to admit that one of the greatest things about Easter is Tier 1, and that is the Reese's peanut butter egg.
Oh, the Cadbury egg. Give me the Cadbury cream egg.
Oh, you're going Cadbury over Reese's?
Cream egg. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Tier 10.
No, okay, well, we don't have any polls this week, but that's it. What do you prefer? The Cadbury
cream
egg.
There is no way that you win this one.
I think you're wrong.
No
that
chance.
Cream egg. They're still airing that commercial.
The
because it's a classic.
It's a classic commercial.
Reese's
Tier 1 commercial.
Peanut butter egg or the Cadbury cream egg.
If you get even 8% of the vote, I'll be shocked. Shocked.
There's nothing different.
Shocked
the
and
Reese's
appalled.
It's a peanut butter cup in the shape of an egg. It's the same thing as a Reese's peanut butter
exactly.
cup.
Exactly. Reese's nailed it.
Oh,
the first time they nailed it. And now all they do is stamp them out in different shapes and different sizes. It's the Christmas tree. Tier
right.
one.
Oh, God. Reese's overrated.
Said it.
You'll be spending it with the in-laws, having yourself...
frustrated. I'm going to eat a Chuck E. C. Jr.
Having yourself some lamb chops or anything tomorrow?
I don't know. I'm not sure what's on the menu. I know that I'm making mashed potatoes, though.
Very nice. Yeah. Hard to do. You got to peel the potato and mash it.
Don't know why my mashed potatoes are now under attack.
You going to do anything to liven them up, or is it really just, you know, boil and mash?
I do a little garlic. A little garlic every now and then.
Yeah, don't get too much flavor. Third, Major League Baseball opening day.
Couldn't care less. I think the only reason I care about it is because I know that it's spring and summer is coming.
Next up, the NFL draft. Oh, do we have time? Do we have time? I've got them. This is an NFL draft unlike one that has ever happened, because we are talking no scouting combine to get all the players in one place. So it's all separate at their like schools and they're running drills. Hmm. How do you scout properly? Are there going to be four quarterbacks going in the first four picks or four in the first top five? That's almost unheard of. Are any of them going to pan out? The NFL draft is like it's so exciting. You agree?
What?
Lastly, Kong versus Godzilla. Godzilla vs. Kong.
Yeah. I think. I'm interested, but I heard that I heard the reviews were not good.
No, the reviews are great.
Really?
Yeah. Finished. I think
maybe maybe it's my informal Facebook poll reviews where people I know who have seen it said it's a giant turd.
Yeah. No, I believe. Let me pull up the Rotten Tomatoes score for it right now. It was high. Yeah. It was very high. And surprising, because monster movies are not easy to make,
mm-hmm.
let alone now when you're talking about two of the monsters, if you will, that are, you know, considered legendary.
Right.
It's at 76%, Steve, on Rotten Tomatoes with 6.8 on IMDb, if you consider that. But yeah.
Wait, Godzilla and Kong, are they from, as you know, I know nothing about.
Sure.
Anything. Are they from different universes?
No.
So they're in the same universe. It wouldn't be like Superman taking on like Mighty Mouse or something, right? Would it?
Right. Yeah. I mean, they're both owned by the same, you know, big company or whatever. And so it's Legendary Pictures who now kind of distributes these movies. There's been a couple of Kong movies in the last few years, two Godzilla movies in the last 7 or 8 years. They started teasing these two meeting up here at the end of the last movie in 2018. Right. And then obviously, you know, COVID happened. They pushed it a little bit. But yeah, it is all over HBO Max. Steve, I am sitting in a private rented movie theater tonight to watch this.
With like just you?
No, like eight or ten other people paid the... I love the movies. Mm-hmm. I've talked about that for a long time. Want to sit in a theater. I figured this big... loud, noisy monster movie is the perfect time to do it. They had a pretty good deal to rent a theater for yourself and up to however many people. Got a bunch of people together.
Interesting. I'm checking back through my text right now.
I should go back and find the audio of the podcast that I said I was doing this on, and you said, yeah, that sounds fun. And then you told me this week that you were going up to the coast.
going out to the coast. Makes me sound like some pretentious Connecticut dickhead.
I guess going to the lake house or something this weekend, Steve and the family.
Yes, we're going to a lake house, not my lake house.
I mean, listen, I don't know what you do with your finances. But yeah, yes, no, that the, came out.
Yes, the car will be here to pick us up.
Been making a ton of cash overseas as it released in theaters on HBO Max this week. Before that, the NFL draft, who do you think your Philadelphia Eagles are taking?
The long-haired quarterback guy.
Oh, wow.
Trevor Lawrence. How about that? I pulled that name.
They're going to trade up for Trevor Lawrence. You heard it here first, folks. before that Major League Baseball opening day, you don't care. You're not even remotely, like, you're not flipping and maybe turning a game on to see it for a little bit.
No, I think, honestly, the reason that I stop on sporting events now is so I can see, do they have fans in the stadium?
Oh, okay.
It's weird. It's like, that's what it is now.
Which most of them do. I know the Texas Rangers are under fire for allowing a packed house for their opening day this year.
Good for them.
But don't worry, the owner was like, hey, don't worry, it's just a one-off. Not a big deal. We're not going to do this for every game.
Yeah, I mean, it's all right. COVID can't possibly spread.
Kind of a surprising reaction. Mm-hmm. Before that, Easter, the tier four holiday with the candy battle for the ages. Easter candy is tier one. No question. The jelly bean. Oh,
boy. We don't even reference them anymore.
But should that just be in the tournament next year? Like against
no matter what the tournament
like
is.
Like against Tommy Edo. It's just, oh, the second round Tommy Edo versus.
yeah, I mean, when it comes to candy holidays. Look, it's got to be tier one.
It is because it's different, what? Right? Like I like Halloween.
Is it above
candy,
Halloween,
but the thing with Halloween, and you know me, Halloween's a tier one holiday for me. Mm-hmm. but the Halloween candy is just regular candy. There's no difference. The candy you're canning, the candy you're handing out to trick or treaters, is the same candy you're going to eat in June. Mm-hmm. There's no difference about
it. It's just slightly smaller.
But if you're handing me a packet of jelly beans in October, I'm calling the cops. Okay? Don't do it. It's a seasonal delight.
I always forget how much I enjoy jelly beans.
Don't you?
I don't. I would never, like, if I'm standing at the grocery store and I got a sweet tooth and there's Snickers, Kit Kat, Reese's peanut butter cups, jelly beans, I would never even give them the time of day. But my mom sent, last week, she sent a little Easter package for Evelyn.
Yeah.
So it had some different candies in it and things like that. And there was a little bag of jelly beans in there. We were like, I don't know, she probably shouldn't
sticky,
have. Yeah, maybe she shouldn't have them. So we cut them up into really small pieces. And of course she loved them because it's pure sugar. So I popped a jelly bean and I was like, oh boy, jelly bean, downed them. Wow. They're so good.
Yeah, and there's something special about the Easter candy they put out with the jelly beans, the Cadbury cream eggs that everybody raves about.
But next week, don't put a jelly bean anywhere near me.
Get it out of my life. If I'm not interested, I'll throw them away. And before that, Matt Gaetz, Florida man, under investigation for sex trafficking. He brought a 17-year-old across state lines, paid for hotel rooms to have sex with her. That's okay. No big deal. They might remove him from some committees, Steve.
Oh, boy. Well, that'll teach him.
That's how you get away from it.
So we got, just one poll up there this week?
Just the one. I was kind of asleep at the wheel in terms of putting polls up. That's right.
At Steve and Kyle on Twitter. At Steve and Kyle, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter if you would like to vote in poll badness.
Yep, the Sweet
16. All the polls will be posted up there. Probably trickle them out throughout the week. Maybe two a day for 4 days. And so you can check on them. Thank you to Mike Mokris for sending... Yes. The little pieces of history, the whiskey prescriptions.
These are tremendous, as well as the donation to the Cure for the Cure. More news on that to come here this month especially.
Also, a big thanks to Brian Krause for joining us once again to explain to a couple of idiots exactly what Passover is.
And again,
you think we'd just retain the knowledge from last year.
Or just read online
about
what it is. And again, please check out We Need to Talk, our guest appearance there. Part one, I believe, aired this past week.
Oh, it was a part one.
Yeah,
that's right.
Putting it into two, so be sure to check them out. Again, We Need to Talk, our friends, Pepin and Meter.
Yeah, if you...
Pretty funny appearance.
If you follow us on social media, I shared their posts earlier in the week. Go to their page, give them a like, tell them that the Steve and Kyle podcast sent you. It's always greatly appreciated. And other than that, I think that's just about it for this week, right?
That's it.
All right, talk to you next week. See you.